down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
You saw today's news dailies?
Which aspect of it?
The aspect there, emergency, QEH, emergency surgeries only.
Yes, problems with the autoclave, and they talked about a shortage of pharmaceuticals generally. I suppose that has a lot to do with the problems that we've had in Puerto Rico since the passage of the hurricane. But that's not the only factor that has influenced this situation. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this government and the politicians, they can call an air ambulance, anything happen to them, and they can go outside and get operations and get to look after. We, the poor people, can't do nothing. So, where the permits don't call the election and let something happen for this country?
So, where's the link between the hospital and elections?
Nobody don't want to invest nothing in this country unless elections.
So, show me the link between. You got to show me this link between investment and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, the autoclave, the shortage of pharmaceuticals. Where is the link?
You read the paper and said that they want a seal. And they wanted a seal for a while. It's funds.
But that's not the private sector.
But it's funds that they want to get these things do. It's funds that can bring medicine and things for help people.
Well, let's be honest with you and say, look, we agree with you that if you're forced at the main hospital in Barbados to deal with emergencies only, certainly that does not send a good signal. It has happened periodically over the years, and one would expect that everything would be done to sort this out. You get the director of the hospital suggesting that in a matter of days, he expects that it will be fixed. What has happened at the QEH, though, as you well know, is that a lot of the things that have not been working well, people have kind of gotten accustomed to it. They don't talk about it as much. I saw somebody yesterday, and they were telling me, you know, they spent a considerable period in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, and given the kind of care that they got and that sort of thing, they are reluctant to speak in public about what they see as the weaknesses. But they said to me, they saw several, you know. People, once you have had a situation going on for a considerable length of time, I suppose people get accustomed to it, and we stop speaking up. We adjust to it as best as we can. When this Democratic Labour Party administration came to office, there was a lot of debate about whether we needed to have a refurbished hospital or a totally new one. With the passage of time and the shortage of money, we found ourselves in a situation where we are now settled. We are settled with what we have had over the years. Just prior to them coming to office, there was discussion too about a possible new hospital up there in Redmond's Village, close to Redmond's Village, Welch's. Nothing has come of that. What we still have confronting us is there a need for Barbados to do something new in that regard? Is the situation that we have right now sustainable? That's a question that won't go away easily, you know?
Look again, the SSA now is paying now $3 million for 6 months for private haulers now to deal with the garbage. $3 million, how much garbage trucks? $3 million can buy myself. I can buy about 6 garbage trucks.
Well, I don't know the details of it, but I can only look at the trend. You went into a situation where the situation was so bad that you were forced to use the private haulers at that price. You moved away from it for a period, but now you're going back to it. And the SSA says people in three parishes have been affected and can expect relief as a result of going back to the private haulers. There is no clear and distinct approach and policy towards this area. And the overall situation facing us with respect to the disposal of garbage in Barbados is very much up in the air. And while the grass is growing, the horse is starving. We continue to have the problem in St. Thomas at the dump or the landfill, whichever you want to call it. It continues to smell very badly. It continues to inhibit the further development of places like Sandy Lane, the big Sandy Lane development that was planned over there, to the expansion of that because of the stench that comes from it. And no doubt, the leachate that flows down onto the West Coast continues to be a problem. I don't know of anything that really would have stopped that along the way. While the grass is growing, the horse is starving. These are serious issues that Barbados needs to confront. But you know how we are. We don't deal with it until it becomes a crisis. Right. And unfortunately, if you look at what has happened with the South Coast Sewage Project, you will realize that now that we have a crisis there, we seem incapable of being able to fix it in a timely manner.
Of course.
We used to pride ourselves of being able to fix the crisis quickly. Now, we seem to have had a problem in that regard.
And a lot of money spending.
Well, we'll see. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program. You on the air? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Good day.
Yes?
I want to pick up from where Wesley left off, Mr. Ellis.
Sure.
Now, what he has been saying, I cannot agree with him more. You have a situation, I have spoken to it on more than one occasion, that this country, this present government, has imposed in excess of $22 billion in taxes. Now, I want to say, this government cannot account for how they have spent the money and taxation that they imposed on the masses of this country. And I can break it down into bits and pieces for you now, see? You have a situation that I am speaking now on the correction. I don't know if this government has taken money from the imposition of taxes to build any building in Barbados that has been built by them. For instance, the Waterworks Department, that's a bold arrangement. The new police station in St. Thomas is money funded by the National Insurance. And probably you, Mr. Ellis, would know better than me about other buildings and other projects that was done by this present government that the taxes imposed was not there to assist. We are, the problem at the hospital now shows the reason why government should be in place. This is the time that the hospital would require a subsidiary financing that would got to go through Parliament. Now, I am hearing that I think they had 65 buses on the road. Well, Bernard, last week, you only got 64. No, you know. I ain't a boy said, worry about that. And any more that get damaged, you can get one less or two less. This is the problem that this country is.
Well, you suggested that the hospital wouldn't be able to fix the problem that has been identified with the autoclave unless additional money was approved by Parliament. That certainly cannot be proven beyond the fact, recognizing this, that the estimates of expenditure have actually been passed, and therefore there should be some latitude in there for the government to be able to provide the funding for the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in circumstances where it is considered urgent.
I can understand you, but that falls right in the same realm as the little injection that the Ms. Sivers from Bra was speaking about last week. She said that they had a little financial injection of about $5 million. But she come back and she was saying they had some more, but I don't know what is that amount. But the position is that she had already said that is in excess of $100 million from 2014 down to now. How, if you look at it in its two perspectives, she said first come, first serve. And you really look at it two perspectives. You believe $5 million to do anything at all to compensate for a debt of over $100 million?
Whose debt?
This is returns from the income tax department.
Well, you have me a little bit confused because I don't see the link between that and the hospital.
What I'm saying to you is all these things certainly would require a parliamentary injection in order to make it right. This is all that I'm saying to you.
Well, I got to remind you that the Cabinet of Barbados still meets, you know.
Yes, but them things got passed through Parliament, Mr.
No, but the point I'm making to you is that in some instances, the estimates have been generous to some areas, generous enough that they should be able to address those problems within those confines. If money runs out, then Parliament needs to address a supplementary. But don't forget that in March of this year, we had the estimates.
Yes, I know in March we had the estimates.
So you behave as though, you know, everything is on such a shoestring that any problem that arises, it can only call for parliamentary approval. It's relatively recently that the government approved the estimates.
I must agree with you, but I put my position there. And now, let me go on. I hear you talking about the proposals to build a new hospital in our county. You know that the Cree has just got a gold recognition from Canada?
And what does that mean? And what does that mean? Because you've had gold recognition, it means that all is well. But look at the autoclave. Look at the autoclave against the backdrop of getting your gold recognition today. The autoclave is down, and we are into emergencies only.
But that means we shouldn't have that gold recognition.
Well, I don't think it means that. I think you have to establish beyond a shadow of a doubt, first of all, what the gold recognition is for. It's for a narrow area or a particular approach to the provision of service. That's what that is for. But that does not touch the
approach. Pardon? Don't forget, you said the approach to the provision of service. The approach to the provision of service, that is right in the area that I'm speaking, that you seemingly not want to agree with. But it can't provide the service. It is a service being provided. I want to be sympathetic to the hospital and the people of Barbados. That is real true. I want to be sympathetic. But when you look at all these things, you got a police station that just built, that ain't built out of none of the funds from the estimate money out of the national insurance. But here is it that they want more money from the national insurance. No, the same Justin Robinson that the man called about and talked about him wearing two hats, want it from different organizations, which is wrong, totally wrong. But these things has only come to roost, Mr. Ellis, when people know about them. And this is why the gentleman is saying that these things should be clear before you actually put people in these positions. Justin Robinson already late last year suggested that they should reduce pensioners' money. He said so. Something that I am appalled about, that pensioners are going to pay income tax on the national insurance. Ed Bushell, at the last meeting you had, or the second last one, with the Tuesday meetings, draw that attention that this same government introduced that pension on people who pays national insurance, something that they already paid for. Because you, Mr. S. God, pay national insurance. You are paying that from your part of it. Why should you be pensioned, have to pay a tax, pay income tax on that?
I think that you have to tie all these requirements to the general environment. I mean, if the macroeconomic picture is bad, then people have to pay a price in various ways. If the government has been facing the kind of tension and pressure that it has been under, then what do you expect? You're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem with your roads. You're going to have a problem with your with the issue of paying school fees, university fees. You're going to have a problem sometimes at the hospital. All of these things are linked, you know. Don't expect that you can have one without the other.
Mr. Ellis, when you sum up all of what you just said to me, you can only come to one word, you know.
What's that?
Or two words, you know, that this government is woefully inadequate to run this country. That is where
In this campaign that is coming up, you will hear the government explaining all the reasons why it has had this difficulty. And you listen to them already. They're coming out with, you know, they're swinging with all the things that they can use as a counter to the arguments that people like you would present. Indeed, by the time this program is finished today, I expect that a couple of people will call to give you that other perspective. This is down to brass tacks. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, somebody has sent me a picture here of what is called Bastard Alley in Spitestone, St. Peter, with bags of garbage mounted on each other, indicative of the situation that they've been facing in that particular area. It looks from several days. So this is an example of the kind of concern that people have been complaining about there. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Right. I hear people continue speaking about no garbage truck being bought, but where money is allocated to buy garbage trucks?
My recollection is that there was a promise of garbage trucks coming into the country.
Well, was the money allocated to buy garbage trucks? I just want to be sure.
They could only have made the promise if money had been allocated for that purpose.
So if money was entrusted to a person to buy garbage truck, and the trucks ain't turned up yet, should have somebody been hot water on them?
Well, the question is, what would be the factors that would have caused it? You know, you can say initially that you want to do something and then realize that, hey, we can't do it in the time frame.
Mr. Ellis, stop that.
Well, you want to try to suggest something that I'm not prepared to go with you on.
I asked a simple question, Mr. Ellis.
The factor is, what is the reason? You cannot assume that there's only one reason why the trucks weren't bought.
Mr. Ellis, stop that. Let us be.
No, you ain't sitting down here. I ain't sitting down here letting you run me into trouble with that kind of talk.
I'm in trouble. I understand the limit. I got in trouble. So I ain't
okay. I hope you know. So
all I am asking, Mr. Ellis, all right, if you gave your daughter money to go to the shop, I know if you got daughters or if you got sons. If you give your child money to go to the shop to buy a particular item, and 2 days later she's still in the house and you don't see the item, you don't ask the question? That's your money you work for, not the child money? That's taxpayers in Barbados.
Are you going to listen to the response that I'm giving you? Because you only want to hear one side, you know.
No, I want to hear one side. I want you to answer me a question.
I'm going to answer you when you finish. Once you finish, I'm going to answer you.
All right, one thing after thing. So if you give your child money to go shop and the child bring back the things, you're going to question your child?
Listen to me.
Mr. Ellis, are you not going to question your child about the items?
Can I answer the question the way I want to answer it? Will you allow me that opportunity?
You go ahead, buddy.
If you sit down and make a decision that you're going to buy trucks, that's one thing.
I asking you about.
Ma'am, will you just let me say answer the question the way I want to answer it? Otherwise, I'm not going to continue with this. Because it seems as though you want to railroad me into answering it the way you want me to answer. You make a decision that you're going to buy trucks. But along the way, you can have something developed that says, look, the money that we had originally allocated for this purpose, we're going to have to use in a different way. That is one option available to you. There is, of course, the option available to you where you might have said that you want to get the trucks and somebody along the way hasn't done what they are supposed to do. And that would have to be investigated. But there is more than one reason why the trucks might not be bought. And you're only looking at one, okay?
Reason one, tell you that everybody, this is the simple, I give you money to go and buy this, what happened?
Yeah, but the child can come back with a reasonable answer as to why they didn't buy it.
I ain't say not. But are you not going to question your child?
Well, I would assume that anybody who is allocated money for that purpose would definitely be asking as to the question as to what happened.
Why everybody keep talking about we ain't getting a truck to the last couple of times and we get money to buy truck money yet for juice to buy trucks, the trucks ain't turning yet and nobody ain't saying nothing about it. I just see you talking about the grass growing and the horse ain't getting feet, but the grass ain't growing and the horse still got wear hard. The grass thing that he ain't getting you on the horse and the horse still got wear hard. You know what happened? Master drinking Morbi and living large. The owner of the horse drinking Morbi and living large. Mr. Ellis, these things got to stop. People should start answering questions. When election comes on, election done, Mr. Ellis. The next party coming, that's a headache for somebody. We people in Barbados, money gone.
Well,
these things are not nice, Mr. Ellis, and nobody is saying nothing. All kinds of things happening.
But you saying something.
Pardon?
You are saying something.
But I is one. I am one of the 270.
And that's important because you are one at the level of society that we don't normally hear from people.
Why hear my voice?
We don't normally hear your voice. So the very fact that you will pick up the phone today and raise this question is important because it demonstrates that people at different levels in the country want answers to certain questions. And I think it's valid to ask the question.
Well, actually, Mr. Ellis, I sorry that I can't have points so far because I just one left out of first talk. Right? Because I had called your program a month ago and we had started the talk, but he had to go. I don't know if you remember when they tell you that the police said they got one deal with him.
Did you deal with them or they dealt with you?
Well, they came. When they told you that my children are traumatized because somebody was loitering around my house.
Okay.
But you can remember the conversation.
I remember when you had to run because of the police coming to your door. But has this issue been sorted out now with the person? Has that person stopped loitering around your door?
Well, Mr. Ellis, you know these things take time, and sometimes you don't even know the outcome because so much crime, so little police do. You understand?
In the meantime, though, what has happened to your children?
I was a lion one. I take care of my children.
No, you said they were traumatized. So has that situation improved?
Yeah, it improved my IDV cases. So my child still do 80% at school.
Okay.
Anyhow, what I want to know with Mr. Ellis, people in Barbados that trend is walk the straight and narrow path. And you got these criminals over here. I mean, we want some sort of access to legal guns too, Mr. Ellis. I don't hear them anymore no more. I carry me through the red tape, carry me through the pipe, drag me for you know what I want, for you know what I want, put 100,000 stipulations for me. But I believe that as a house owner in this Barbados, a owner of land, a family, I ain't got no charges, my mind saying, I don't do no folly. I should go stay in here that I can defend myself against the criminals out there that got them too, because my family do not trouble nobody. I in this Barbados, I feel house owners should want a right to fight back too.
You know, there are many people who believe that the more guns you have in a society, the more dangerous it becomes. And you still have to be very careful that you don't create an environment where the very gun that you make available to someone, that somebody comes and steals it.
Hence, that's why you say, Mr. Ellis, put 100,000 stipulations for me to make sure that if I even break one, that I can end up in jail.
But there are conditions that exist right now under which you can get a gun. But you have to meet the necessary criteria.
Someone right here for the ordinary man, Mr. Ellis.
The ordinary man? Well, you have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are vulnerable and that you have the means by which you can carry a gun and all of that. So there are conditions already.
Mr. Ellis, I'm a businessman in Barbados. I don't drive the BMW. I ain't got there that look precious. You understand? But my house, my land, and my family is the precious things to me in life. You understand? I got defending Mr. Ellis, and I can't be running outside to, and I know if he got...
You got dogs?
Huh?
You got dogs?
You can start by shooting the dog.
You have dogs?
No, I ain't got no animals around my house.
Mm. Well, you know, a dog is a very important alarm when it comes to people around your property. And part of the issue for us is that there are a lot of Barbadians who do not like dogs and don't have an appreciation of what the dogs can do to a family, you know. So that's part of what you perhaps need to start looking at, especially as somebody who has children. You could encourage them as well to become more involved in that kind of practice. All right? I gotta leave you. Thank you very much. You know, I go back to December of 2017, GIS release, and the Environment and Drainage Minister was telling Barbados through the GIS that he was working to ensure that appropriate measures were in place to tackle the issue of garbage immediately. We are aware of the concerns in the various locations with the removal of skips and the general collection of waste around certain parts of the island, he said then. He said that the Ministry of Finance was making resources available to address some of the fundamental needs of the SSA. In addition, he emphasized that the SSA's staff were also doing their best under the circumstances to keep Barbados clean. This is April. It's the 23rd day of April 2018. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning. It's still morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I am well, thank you for asking. I hope that my call at least would give you a breath of fresh air for the day.
Yes.
I'm calling connection with Flo. And it's a positive call. I went there in Winslow, where the headquarters is.
Yeah.
And on entering, there was a young man that greets you. I asked him his name. It was Antonio Christie. And the greeting was very sincere, you know, to shake hand and, you know, say who he was with his badge and everything. The atmosphere was very, 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 very clean, very quiet. And I went through, you know, the process where you meet with your agent to, you know, go through, you know, whatever problem you were having. And the agent she had listened, young lady. I think her name was Shari Cutting. And she listened. She explained some things that I didn't quite understand that I was making myself. And then she introduced me to her manager. I got her name. She was Gabriel Belgrave. And in the midst of all of that, when it was finished, my issue that I had was clarified. And it was done in reasonable time. I didn't spend the whole day, probably 3 hours or something, if that much. So I just want to say thank you to them, and thank you for Flo for the, if those are the few people that they had on training. It didn't even come across that they were even trained to be polite or that kind of thing.
So you were improved with the service that you got from Flo.
I was very impressed with it. It was very professional for me. which I'm accustomed to.
You're accustomed to getting that service from them, don't you?
Overseas, no. I get, you know, the normal.
Prior to this, when is the last time you went to them for service?
I went on Thursday.
Prior to this,
I've never gone.
You've never gone, so you can't make a comparison.
No.
Okay.
I can't make the comparison. I just know, you know, the things that happen. You know, the phone will go off, and you know, you get your whatever little things that happen on your phone. And no sense complaining because it comes on when it comes on. And I know I do get attention, you know, they would tell me what to do inside. The technicians will help me. And so I can't say I have those deep complaints, huh?
Yeah.
That I hear about. And I'm aware that others do because I listen to other people in there that were speaking to the agents as well and the way they were carrying on. But, I mean, if those, like I say, were the ones who were trained, I have to say kudos and well done.
Okay, thank you very much. And we complain when things go wrong, and we encourage you to call and compliment people when they do the right thing, especially in this area when of trying to attain service excellence. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I've had a couple of comments in relation to the costs of doing business in Barbados. And one person here has sent me a bit of information. They said, they refer to a conversation with the gentleman here around 10:15 about the price of online prices versus the cost of importation. They say that they drive a Toyota Corolla and needed an expansion valve and dryer bottle receiver for the air conditioning system. One store quoted them $150 for the filter, and another quoted $218 for the valve, they think. And upon advice of a friend, they went online and they were able to purchase both parts for less than $15. The shipping company charged them $30 for insurance and freight. The total weight of the goods came to under 4 pounds. The person goes on to say, I fully understand that businesses need to mark up their prices in order to break even. In fact, I have absolutely no difficulty with paying a surplus of what the expenses are. But there is no way an online price of $15 should end up past $80 to $90. Not to mention, the parts I bought are 100% brand new and 100% OEM. Bear in mind, when a store buys items in bulk, they pay less overall due to that bulk purchase agreement with the supplier. And if they ship via sea, they pay even less, says this writer. Somebody else here is saying that they want to thank the MTW for patching the potholes in the Bell area. And another person says that they disagree with my justification for the taxing of NIS pensions. I'm not sure that they're talking to me because I haven't had any discussion about that today. And at any point where I have discussed it, I have come down on the side of this person who feels that it is unfair to tax pensions, having taxed people's salaries when they were working. And this I consider to be one of the more outrageous aspects of what the government has done. So I don't know what that person is talking about at all. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak on your program, to speak about the garbage problem that we had down here in the Hoyts. And I will let you know that the next day, Saturday, MTW sent a truck, and out here is cleared. I would only call you again if the garbage piles up like this again, or if they stay for this length of time to move the garbage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad that it worked for you and the people who live in that particular neighborhood. down to brass tacks.
Hello, Mr. Ellis. Morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well.
Mr. Price's article on Sunday, the back page, Sunday Sun.
Yes.
You had a caller on it before. And I just wanted to throw my opinion out on the table on that. But before I do that, let me say two things. I'm not attempting to defend the government. They can't be defended, in my opinion. I might appear to be defending Mr. Robinson, although I don't even know who he is. I don't know him. I don't think there's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
No more conflict of interest, as if it was somebody working on the board of MCW and the Sanitation Service Authority or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're both statutory bodies. We tend not to look at them like that, but they're both statutory bodies. And that brings me to the main point of what is actually going on in the article. I see absolutely nothing wrong with what is going on in that article. I think it is sensible and practical. What is happening here, I think should happen, as opposed to what really is they're talking about, is that the central bank should actually go ahead and repurchase bonds from the NIS, get that U.S. currency, and repay them with profit, interest due on those bonds. Repay them in Barbados dollars. It would be total nonsense, as far as I'm concerned, if the central bank needs foreign reserves in order to pay down a due debt coming. If they went to the markets and borrowed that money to get that, when the National Insurance is also a statutory body, has those holdings, right? Don't borrow it from them. Buy it. Pay the debt. If you do it any other way, it's basically Ponzi financing. You can't borrow from the markets to repay a debt. It is Ponzi financing. So to me, it is a practical move, a sensible move. I would hate to see it become a political football, because let us say that the government changes, and I would still agree to have the same thing done. It is just sensible to do. That's all.
You know what would be my concern in all of this?
No.
I go beyond this single transaction here,
mm-hmm.
and I look at trend. Trend bothers me,
yeah.
because if we are at the, we've just come to the end of the winter tourist season, and this is a point at which we should be able to improve the foreign reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, my recollection is that though we had an improvement in the foreign reserves from the money from the tourism sector,
mm-hmm.
we still had a drop in the reserves overall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have done different things. And the concern here is, if the trend has been such that we are forced to go in the direction that is proposed here in this article, mm-hmm. then what is the real situation? And are we stemming the flow? Is it that we are unable, notwithstanding all the things that we have said and done, that we have been unable to stem that kind of flow that has been recognized as a dangerous trend for Barbados? And that I wait to see, because, and I don't think we have very long to wait and see what happens, because the central bank itself is supposed to produce its news conference early in May.
End of this month or something like that, yeah.
Early in May, I believe.
May? Okay.
And so you would appreciate that is really the deeper concern here.
Yeah, in a way, yes, and in a way, no. I'll say why I say in a way, no.
Why not?
Because when we tend to think of I've been avoiding talking about this because I get cussed off for it already. And I threw my hands in the air saying, I can't be bothered.
Mm.
Let me discuss the central bank's foreign exchange reserves. We talk strictly of that. And let me speak in terms of the trend, as you say, in tourism or what have you, and spend.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not doing anything to increase the central bank's foreign exchange reserve holdings. Right? That is not the same. But a lot of that money goes into a makeup commercial bank's net foreign assets. They don't go to the central bank. So we're looking at reserves in the wrong way. We are looking at viewing everything as central bank reserves rather than international reserves totally.
But it's the international reserves that we are supposed to be worried about.
But no.
When you look at the international reserves of Barbados, therefore,
uh-huh.
You see,
$2.3 million.
Internationally, what is the IMF and what are the investors looking at? What is it that they look at? That is what we are supposed to focus on.
No, you're wrong.
All right, tell me.
If we keep focusing, I'll tell you why you say that.
I don't understand. Keep focusing
on the central bank foreign reserve holdings. The central bank doesn't earn foreign reserves.
Sir, I have just said to you,
yeah,
as far as I am concerned, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's not. Let me finish. Let me make my point.
Let me make my point. My point is not, I don't know who you're talking about when you say they are focusing on the central bank's
reserves. People generally.
I have listened to this discussion over the years, and when we talk about having moved from 12 weeks of reserves to 6 weeks of reserves or less, we are talking, as far as I am aware,
about the
international reserves of Barbados.
No, you're talking about the monetary authorities reserve holdings.
Well, I don't know that.
That is a mistake that is being made.
So when you look at the international reserves,
reserves include commercial banks, net foreign assets.
And when you look at those, Barbados is in a position where it can meet, well, it has nothing to worry about in terms of a decline. Is that what you're saying?
No, you're missing my point again.
What is the point?
You're missing my point. You are quite right in talking about the reserve requirement at the central bank, in that it has fallen and gone down to 6 weeks of import cover. No argument on that. That is true. All right? But what we are looking at, that is needed. That import cover is needed if and when. Right? Other reserves, if the commercial bank's net foreign assets started to fall, then they would need to defend the peg with those central bank foreign reserves. What I'm saying is that the total international reserve position, although it has fallen, right, is no different today than it was in 2010 or 2009. You have to add the central banks, the monetary authorities, then central bank foreign assets, to the commercial bank's net financial assets, plus other public sector body assets. And you will end up with table EHI, international reserves. You can get that table off of the central bank's database. But we don't focus on the total. We tend to focus on the central banks. When money comes into the island, it doesn't go to the central bank. The central bank have reduced a portion of their holdings from 6% to 2% in 2009. In 2009, commercial banks' net foreign assets were a lot lower.
Who is it that cursed you when you raised this issue before?
There's a friend of mine. I can't.
I ain't interested in. I am more interested in what the friend told you.
Huh?
We told you when you put this argument to him.
The initial response was when he was bringing up the looking at the total international reserves and bringing the commercial banks' net foreign assets into play. I know nothing about that. That's a rubbish as far as I'm concerned. That's what that one mean by cursing me. So I just threw my hands. I said, well, that ignorance is bliss. Believe that you feel like. I ain't got no problem with that. You know? I know the position is here. Numbers don't lie. Right? If we tend to lie.
On February 1st, 2018, there was this story which said Barbados's foreign reserves are dangerously low.
It says Barbados's foreign reserves.
You just let me speak, because let me tell you what I've got here.
Sure.
All right. Lower than there have been in over two decades, Central Bank Governor Cleverston Haynes has disclosed. Days after regional economist Marla Dukeran reported that the reserves had dipped to $482 million Barbados dollars, or $241 million U.S., or just under 8 weeks of import cover, as at November last year, Haynes revealed they had dipped even further. In his 2017 economic review yesterday, he said that as of the end of December last year, the reserves stood at a 22-year low of $410 million.
Yeah.
Or 6.6 weeks of import cover, almost half the recommended 12 weeks. Now, when this matter has been discussed by the central bank, respective central bank governors over the years, this has been taken to mean the total reserves available to Barbados at a given point in time. But you have come to tell us that, generally speaking, people have been separating the international reserves from the central bank's reserves.
Correct.
Well, I don't know that. When the governor of the central bank spoke to this issue, what did you interpret him to be speaking about?
Well, when he was speaking, I was looking at the report at the same time.
And what did you interpret him to be speaking about?
About the central bank's foreign reserves.
Not the international reserves.
No.
So he
if you look at his report, you would see that he has both of them together.
Okay.
Look at the report. I got to bring it up here very quickly. International reserve, what was it called? I'm looking at my file to try and find it. But the report from the central
bank. In any case, the more significant point is this.
Yeah.
From where you sit. If we look at the reserves of the central bank, mm-hmm. there's a need to be worried.
Yes, and I'm saying.
But if
exactly
you put, but when you look at the international reserves, you have no reason to worry.
Not yet, no.
And when you talk about what you see as the international reserves,
I would worry when I see net foreign assets of the commercial bank starting to fall. And start to reach the levels of the commercial.
When we went to the International Monetary Fund in 2000, and the last time we went there, it would have been in 2004.
We got to remember, Mr. Ellis.
Don't get me confused because I need to be clear. When we went to the International Monetary Fund under the Sandiford administration. Can you tell me the difference between the so-called international reserves and the bank's reserves?
I could look at that, but what I'm looking at now is only from years.
Barbados has been to the International Monetary Fund on two previous occasions.
Yeah.
All right. You got enough time because we're going to go to the news and come back, the regional roundup. And when we come back, you're in a better position to look at those things and come back to me, okay? Nobody?